Greetings. It is good to be with you again, and I look forward to my opportunity to come and spend some time with you guys again. Before we get started this morning, I just want to take time to think about an object around us in our world. It is plentiful. We deal with it every day, and yet we take it for granted so many times. And it's simply water. Water's all around us. Our earth is composed 70% of water. It's estimated that on Earth, there's 326 million trillion gallons of water. That's 326 with 18 zeros. That's an estimated on water. Now, that can be in a liquid, like rivers, oceans. It can be in ice, like glaciers. And it's in vapors as it condensates and evaporates. But it's all around us. In fact, our bodies are composed anywhere between 55 and 60% of water. And yet we rely on our bodies to be rigid and strong and to perform certain tasks. And our bodies can only survive approximately 3 days without water. So I think it's safe to say that without water, there would be no life. And that very basis is the same drive for SETI, or the search for extraterrestrial life in our universe, as NASA and others spend millions and billions of dollars looking for water. The idea is you find water, you find life. Water's important. And if I can switch gears a little bit to talk about the largest river by volume. All right, not the longest, but the largest river by volume. And that would be the Amazon River in South America. The Amazon River discharges or outputs 224,000 cubic feet of water every second. So that's 1 foot wide, 1 foot deep, 1 foot high. 224,000 of those every second, just continually flowing. The Amazon River, depends where you put its starting point, is about 4,000 miles long, and it's estimated that 1/5 of the world's fresh water flows through the Amazon River at any given point. But where is this water coming from? This great river cannot produce that water within itself. It needs to come from somewhere else, and that is true. There's about 5 rivers and 1 lake that all flow into the Amazon. And also 2.7 million square miles of land all drain in. To be able to output that kind of water, it needs to have a continual source. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and talk about physical water all morning, but I want us to see Jesus as the living water. Why? So that out of us can flow those rivers of living water. The title this morning is simply, The Living Water. You can turn with me to John 4, and we're going to look at Jesus, and how he is the living water and what he provides. John 4 is the account of Jesus and his disciples traveling from Judea into Galilee. They're going from south to north. Many of the Jews would have taken a longer route and went around Samaria. Jesus said in verse 4, he must needs go through. Most of the other Jews would have argued that point. But Jesus said, we're going through Samaria. And we know he sits down at the well. Disciples go away to get food. And this is where we pick up with Jesus, starting at verse 7. Now there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the waters that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. The rest of the chapter, Jesus goes in to say, hey, call your husband. The woman says, I have no husband. She's like, yes, you're right, you have many. And then there's the dialogue between where do we worship, from which mountain, etc. But there's two sources of water, two sources that we can draw water from. There's the living well, and there's the earthly well. And the living well, the true source of water, is Jesus Christ. And he points that out to her here. She's like, if you drink of this water, pointing to the well, the physical well, you know, you're going to be back here tomorrow. You're going to need more water. But Jesus is the true well, the true source. His well is bottomless. There is an abundance of water. You're not going to put a bucket down that well and hit the bottom. It's just not there. There's always going to be more. It is lasting. And health officials recommend that we drink anywhere between 13 and 9 cups of water a day. Now, it doesn't work that if you double that one day, you'll be fine the next day. You can drink as much as you want one day, and tomorrow you're going to want more water. It just doesn't work that way. We can't store up. And maybe you're working outside, or you spend a lot of time in the sun in the summer, and after a while, at the end of the day, something more than water is needed. You need something with a little bit of salt or sugar in it. We need something a little bit more. But that's not that with Jesus. You drink of that water, it's always enough. It's going to last. You never need to put anything in that water, a drink mix, to add something to it. It's enough. It's sufficient. And that water is pure. We never have to worry about what's in it. The living water. Peter says of Jesus in 1 Peter 2, he said that leaving us an example that ye should follow in his footsteps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus is pure, and we never have to worry. There's a lot of money spent every year to secure proper drinking water. I have, in my basement, I have an RO system. I have a charcoal filter. I have a water softener. And there's many others. You can get a UV light, and I'm probably forgetting some other options that you could do. And money is being spent every year to secure that when we turn our tap on, there's pure drinking water. That tastes good. We take that for granted. And yet 1 in 4 people in our world do not have that. It's estimated that 1.2 million people die every year from unsafe drinking water. And too many times I'll walk up to my tap, I turn it on, and I just take that for granted, that it's always just going to be there. But what about our spiritual water? When we come to the pure, living well, we never have to worry about what's in that water. It's going to be pure every time, and it's going to taste good. It's pure, living water. So what's your source? What are you drinking from? My wife and I enjoy reading, and we have accumulated a number of books over the years. As I was studying, I turned around and looked over my bookshelf, and I saw many good books. Books by good authors like C.S. Lewis, A.W. Tozer, Oswald Chambers, John Piper, Gary Miller, and many others. And so many times I turn to those books, and that's my source. And while they're maybe good books, we can never substitute for the true well. The true source, when you drink right from a source, instead of supplementing with other books. And we need to be saturated in the Word. Yes, those books can help us, and I rely on them, and I enjoy reading them. But they can never, ever, ever replace the Word or put in a place of authority above the Word, the true source. Read, reread, study, and dig. We never, ever have to worry what's in that water. And so that's Jesus, the living well, the pure, true source. But there's other sources, and we see them around us. Look at the way society spends their money and their time. Entertainment, recreation, pets, tech, home, vehicles. They're searching for a well that will give them refreshment, will give them a drink that they can enjoy. But it never lasts. There's always a need for more. And that's the way it works. Think of it this way. I enjoy disc golfing. And if my wife can testify that just going one time does not satisfy my thirst for the whole year, going once will require me to go more. It's just the way it works. And that same is true for music. If that's your source, you're going to keep going back. You need a new song, a different genre, whatever it is. Maybe it's YouTube. Maybe it's social media. It just creates a thirst that you just want more because it never satisfies. It's not enough. And I can testify this because that's where I've been in my life too many times. The void inside is never filled. It's never satisfied. That thirst is just always there. It's just not quite satisfied. Maybe for a little bit. You know, during my round, you know, I'm pretty satisfied. But then you go home and you just want to do it again. And this all sounds good and we can nod along and we can agree. You know, we need that true source. But what is it? What is this living water that we're talking about this morning? What is Jesus supplying for us that is all abundant, that is completely pure, and will always satisfy? What is it? Turn with me to John 7. Look at 3 verses here in John 7. Context, great feast. Jesus and his disciples are there. And we're going to pick up at verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Can you imagine this? There's a big feast. I'm sure there's lots of people there because it was a great day. And Jesus stands up. All eyes were like, whoa, what's this guy doing? And he cries. What does he say? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, that's plural, of living water. Verse 39, but this he spake of the Spirit, that's a capital S Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. This living water is the Holy Spirit. It has power within itself. It exerts this power. It gives this power to anyone who will allow it to into their life, who will drink and let it in. And the Holy Spirit will come, it will live, it will abide, it will work among us, and it adequately fills that void. As humans, we have been created in the image of God from Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And then with that comes that void that I've been talking about. And when the living water, the Holy Spirit, comes in, he is the only one who can adequately fill that void. And then we are truly satisfied. We're not lacking, we're not looking for something else. We are complete and we are whole. Do you desire that living water? Or are we still thirsting for something else and longing for something else? A young basketball player approached a coach who was well known and respected in his sport and said, Coach, I want to be a great basketball player. Coach is like, good, but you have to want it. Player said, oh yeah, I want it. I want it really bad. All right. He says, meet me at the beach at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. At 6 a.m. the next morning, they meet on the beach, and the coach instructs the young player to start walking into the water. He walks into his ankles, and, you know, pretty deep. Coach says, no, go further. He's up to his knees in water, further. He's up to his waist in water, still not enough. Keep going. Goes up to his armpits, keep going. Just when he's about completely under, the coach takes his head and just shoves it under the water and just holds it there. After a while, the player starts thrashing around, and he lets him up. And as he sputters and wipes water out of his eyes, he's like, what was that for? And the coach said, you have to want to be a great basketball player just as much as you wanted that breath of fresh air. You have to want it that bad. Is that our desire? Do we have that kind of longing and desire for the living water? That we want it more than air? Do our lives reflect that? The money we spend, the time that we dedicate towards things, the decisions that we make, do they reflect that intense longing and desire for the water, the living water? Psalm 42, the first two verses. As a hart or deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Just like that deer is running from an enemy, and it's in the wilderness, and it's just thirsting, and it stops to catch its breath, and just panting, and just wants a cool drink of water. Does our soul thirst for God in that way? For the living water? Are we searching for God with that intense desire and longing for him? Why do we lack that intense longing? Why do we lack that intense thirst? Because I see it in my life. Why is that? And maybe there's different reasons, but I think it comes from taking our gaze off of Christ. When we are fixed on him and what he wants us to do, that longing and desire is typically there. But when we lower our gaze from Christ and we look around us at the things of this world and we look at our neighbors and like, man, I want what he's got. I want these things. Maybe if we just, put a few more hours in this week and a little more overtime, maybe we can get those things. And we soon forget that we are only strangers and pilgrims here. When we take our gaze off of Christ, we lose that desire. But there's a promise. The promise when we thirst, when we long and we seek after, we pant after that water, there's a promise there. Revelation 21:6, John writes, and he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He who thirsts will be given freely. We have to thirst. That's our point. We have to thirst, but then it will be given to us freely. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life, once again, freely. That promise is there. And we just read in John 7, where Jesus stood and cried, and if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We have to thirst. When we thirst, what's the promise? It's going to be there. We're going to be fulfilled. There's that promise. And that thirst that we have, that longing, it can and it will be fulfilled. That promise is there. And finally, when Jesus was speaking at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, in verse 6, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When you thirst, you have that longing to fill that void. The promise is there. You will get it. And it's going to be free because Jesus paid the price for it. And if we can drink of it freely. And we know what we feed will grow. That can be a plant, it can be an animal, it can be a child. And what we starve will die. And the same is true. And the more we know, the more we want to know. Think of it this way. If you're the amount of knowledge you have is an island in the ocean. And you know, with a small island, there's a small, or small knowledge is a small island. And the more knowledge you get, it's a bigger island. But as your island grows with the knowledge that you obtain, the shoreline around that island gets longer as well. That shoreline of curiosity. So the bigger your knowledge, the more you want to know. And you long to know more and more. And the promise is there. The more you thirst, it will always be there. There's always abundant water. Jesus will always have enough. So what are you thirsting after? What are you desiring? What are you feeding on? And what are you starving? So we desire. We long for the water. We find a source of living water. It's living within us. The Holy Spirit's working. But now what? Is that the end? Is that it? And going back to John 7, in verse 38, Jesus said that out of whoever drinks this water, out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And John 4, Jesus tells the woman at the well that it's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the Greek word well there is not what we think of when it takes massive machines to dig a well and, you know, to pump the water out. It's a spring. It's just flowing up. And there's the idea of a cistern. We don't use cisterns much anymore, but a cistern used to be a cavity usually dug in the ground and covered that would catch rainwater and hold it. If a cistern was done properly, it would not let the water drain away. Now contrast that to a river or a spring that just bubbles and just flows and just always moving and flowing. And I believe this aspect often gets overlooked. When we drink of the living water, we find a true source, we are refreshed and we rejoice and we say, praise God, but then it stops. And we quickly try to hold it tight and so that way it doesn't bubble over and, you know, spill out of our cup. No. Jesus did not create us as Christians to be a cistern where that water comes in and then we hold it. That's not what we were designed to do. It will naturally flow out. The living water does not come in and stop. It comes in and then it flows out to those around us. And it will continually flow. Look at the life and ministry of Jesus while on earth. And look at the rivers that flowed out of him. John 4, he talked to the Samaritan woman. That was not common. That was not accepted of him to do that. He grieved the loss of Lazarus. He empathized with his sisters. He allowed his schedule to be interrupted over and over and over again. He took time for the children. He healed the sick. He showed mercy to a woman caught in adultery. And he patiently, constantly explained his teachings to his disciples who simply did not get it. There was always rivers flowing out. Where did this water come from? How could Jesus just keep giving of himself so freely and not get burned out? Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus routinely taking time to get away and pray. Jesus, the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Messiah, Alpha and Omega, had to take time to get away, usually in the wilderness or a desert place, and pray, connect with his Father. And if he has to do that, how much more do I? How much more do you need that? To take time to get away, connect, refuel, recharge. The living water that is continually flowing out of us will not be supplied within ourselves. Just like the Amazon River is flowing continually and outputting thousands of gallons of water, it can't produce that in itself, and we can't produce these rivers either. They must be supplied by a bottomless well, a pure, abundant well. All other sources will run dry. They will not be able to sustain us for what needs to happen. And my question is for myself and for you, can others around see that you have drunk of that water? Is that evident in your life? And how can I know that those rivers are flowing? And maybe we can get a glimpse at what that looks like by looking at the opposite. What if those rivers aren't flowing? What does that look like? Maybe we've disconnected from our source and we're trying to produce that water within ourselves. Or maybe there's sin or something blocking those rivers from allowing them to flow freely. What's the result of that? What I see in my life is typically a short temper where I fly off the handle at my wife and my daughter, my coworkers. It's a lack of patience, a lack of grace and love and mercy to those around me. And I become selfish. I'm only looking out for myself. It's like, look how bad I have it. Everyone needs to pity me. And we indulge in earthly sources. If you notice in your life that you're always looking for those other things to fill you, that's a red flag that maybe you've disconnected from the true source and you're not drinking from the living water that flows and can sustain and support the type of life that Jesus is calling us to do. God created humans in His image, and with that image comes a void inside that can only be filled by Him. It was designed by Him to be that way. But yet, humans have, and they will continue to continually look for other sources to fill, other waters to drink of that will satisfy that longing and that thirst that is within. But as we learn, that only the pure, abundant, living water can completely and fully satisfy that thirst and that void. He has promised that those who thirst will find that water, will find the sustaining water that they need. And the living water is the Holy Spirit. And His longing and His desire is to, when we drink, to come in, to live within, to fill us, to work in us, and to outflow out of us. But to maintain that flow, to maintain those rivers of water that are flowing out from us, we need to drink from the true source. We need to spend time with our Father to connect and to refuel and to recharge. And when that happens, our life will become a giving testimony of the God, the reality of God working within us. That everyone's going to see that. It's going to be evident. We're not going to store it up. It's going to flow out. And so my question for all of us this morning is, will you drink of the water, the living water that Jesus is offering, that will flow and that can flow out of us? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Jesus, we come before You this morning, and we're thankful for the water that You provide, the living water that flows and that is pure and abundant. Thank You that You have promised that if we are thirsty, we can come. And the water of life You will not withhold, and You will give it freely because of the price that You have paid on a cross. Father, help us to continually connect, to allow that source to flow through us, and to resist looking for other earthly sources that will never supply and the longing that is within us. Father, as we go forth, may Your living water flow out of us in rivers of life, and may the people that we come in contact with, our family, our coworkers, our friends, may see that You are living and working within us. Be with each one of the teachers that take their part. Bless them, and may Your name be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.